All the talk on Saturday night leading up to the Patriots' visit to Buffalo was, oh, it's so cold. Josh Allen's feet, there's no circulation. He should take Viagra. Belichick will dominate him. That was not the case. Not the case at all when it came to the performance of Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. And a man who was there to see it, he covers the team for WGR 550 in Buffalo, is Sal Capaccio. And he joins us now on First Up. Good morning, Sal.
Good morning, guys. Good to be with you. Yeah, it was quite the cold experience on Saturday night, but it felt a lot warmer because of the result and the party in the stadium.
Well, Sal, so obviously you were in the stadium with the way you just answered that question. Tell us what it was like. I mean, we heard Josh Allen talk pregame saying he was going to go sleeveless because he wanted to feel the ball, and then him saying that, you know, when he stepped onto the field, it was too cold, he had to go with the long sleeves. But give us the live fan experience of what it was like in that stadium.
Well, from two different points, I'll start with the weather. Look, it was really cold. I'm not going to diminish that at all. I mean, at one point when I first walked out, I think my eyes actually hurt. I don't think I've ever had my eyes hurt from the cold. You know, I'm wearing like a ski mask, and you know, because I'm talking a little bit, believe it or not, to be gross, but it was like it froze like where my mouth was at one point. Like, that's how crazy it was. And then I posted a picture on Twitter, on my social media at Sal Sports. I don't know if you guys saw. I got too close to that, one of those torpedo heaters on the sidelines, and it melted my glove. It literally melted
what?
My glove. The insulation of the glove was showing because I was trying to.
Oh, my God, I'm looking at this. It looks like Freddy Krueger's glove.
It's amazing. Yeah, it's incredible, right? I couldn't believe it, but those things are no joke, by the way, so don't get too close to those. But I'm not trying to diminish it. I will tell you, though, I prefer that over what we had that Monday night against the Patriots because that wind and cold is so bad. There was no wind, right? I mean, like, yeah, it's really cold, but if you can stay, if you're dressed warm enough, you can handle that. That wind, though, that was so bad on that Monday night. Now, some of my media colleagues disagreed with me and said, no way, it's just way too cold for them. So from that standpoint, the other part of it was, look, guys, I mean, we went into this game of all of the angst of, oh, my God, it's New England, it's the Patriots. It's one thing to have your season on the line, but can you imagine losing to this team? Like, how bad is Sunday going to suck all day? And we're going to want to watch football. I'm not going to want to talk about this. It's that team. And, you know, there was never any of that. It was a literal party in the stadium from the opening kickoff till the end. It was almost like a relaxed atmosphere in a way of if people just enjoyed it. There was never any angst or anxiety, really, after the Micah Hyde interception and the Bills went down and made it 14-0. Everyone knew that the Bills were winning that night, no doubt about it.
Well, the Micah Hyde interception was an incredible play. Like an absolutely remarkable defensive play. Yeah, that was, and wasn't a bad throw by Mac Jones. It might not have been absolutely perfect, but the play that Micah Hyde made on that ball was, needless to say, a game changer for the Buffalo Bills. So, Sal, some people around the NFL media are calling this performance by the Bills the greatest offensive game of all time. And I don't know if that might be a little bit of hyperbole, but it was a perfect game. They didn't punt. They didn't fumble. They didn't have a fourth down. I mean, seven drives, seven touchdowns, and then the kneels. When you think about that in perspective of NFL history, would you consider this one of the greatest, if not the greatest, offensive performance in NFL history?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think we're living in a new era, right? In a time period where we see these teams with these elite quarterbacks and passing games just throwing around. You just remember that Monday night game a couple of years ago with the Rams and the Chiefs, you know, then they played just back and forth, like 51, whatever the score was. You guys remember?
54-51,
like
those, I think it was.
Yeah, right? I mean, like, back and forth. We're seeing a lot of this. I don't know. I go back to, you think about in context what happened when the Bills beat the Raiders to go to the first Super Bowl when they won 51-3. It was 41-3 at halftime. This is 1990, right? Not like we're playing in this kind of era of football like we are today. So sure, I think it's one of the better performances and maybe the best performance I've ever seen. I think in context, you have to think, like, this is the way teams play now. They're aggressive. They throw the ball down the field. They have these elite quarterbacks that are super talented. I do think it's remarkable to look at some of the statistics, though, which are what you just mentioned. It wasn't just, now Bill Belichick goes 240-something games his whole career without ever having a team not having to punt against him, and then it happens the day after Christmas. And then the same team not only does it again to them, but doesn't even face a fourth down. I mean, how ridiculous is that, right? So if there's one thing to nitpick a little bit, they did have two extra points blocked, so wasn't the absolute perfect day, I think, overall. And I think maybe that's something that a coach can go back and go, you know, we weren't perfect. We had this happen. But as they just have so many options, Yeah, there's so many options. They have so many weapons. They're running the ball really well now, which really complements and accentuates the passing game as well. And I think, you know, Josh Allen was as dialed in as I've seen anyone on Saturday night.
Was he ever? And you talk about being dialed in. You mentioned the Belichick, you know, statistics and stuff like that. To do what they were able to do against one of the greatest coaches in NFL history and Bill Belichick and a top five defense in back-to-back games, and I've stated that earlier, that as great as Bill Belichick has been, I believe, considering what we've seen the Bills do to them over the last two games, that Josh Allen is the kryptonite to Bill Belichick. Do you not agree?
Yeah, and look, let me go even a little bit further because I want to look down the road a little
bit. Yes, go further, baby. Go further. Let's go.
This is going to be like this for a while, guys, for a couple of reasons, I think. Now, granted, maybe the Patriots can win a game here. That happens in football.
You throw a weather game with winds and snow, it can happen.
Yeah, right. There's a real big gap between these two teams right now, and it starts at the quarterback position, right? I mean, we know that Josh Allen and Mac Jones, and no disrespect to Mac Jones, he had a nice rookie year. He might win rookie of the year. Probably will be. Mm-hmm. You know, but there's a clear talent gap there, and, you know, if Mac Jones even reaches his ceiling, there will always be a talent gap, I think, right there. But here's the other part about this. You know, you just said it, one of the greatest coaches. I know it's sacrilege. I don't consider Bill Belichick the greatest coach in NFL history. I think he is the most accomplished coach, right? No doubt. He's won all those Super Bowls. There's no doubt about. But to me, to be the greatest coach, you have to adapt and do different things. Look at guys like Joe Gibbs and how they won with three different quarterbacks, Super Bowls. But Bill Belichick, it's like he went into a time machine in the year 2001 when Tom Brady was his quarterback. And for 20 years, he won because he had this quarterback who was so great and covered up all the warts and things like that. Then he comes out in 2021, and he's still trying to win games like it's 1990. You can't win the way Bill Belichick wants to win these days.
He hasn't adapted.
He hasn't evolved. He went out and spent. That's right. He went out and spent all this money on these tight ends. Tight ends. No weapons. They don't have weapons on the outside. Look what we're just talking about with the Bills. Look at the difference in all the weapons they have and how they play. He's trying to win games.
Keep going, Sal. I love this. Yes.
Right. And look, one thing that was really, really clear to me on Saturday night. The Patriots are slow. They're a slow team. They couldn't keep up with the Bills. Bill Belichick built a defense that, yeah, there's some versatile players. They're really smart. But guess what? They can't keep up in a 2021 world. I think Bill Belichick has to reassess how he wants to coach philosophically. And it's 70 years old. I don't think he's going to do that. He's going to think, I'm Bill Belichick. I'm just going to roll out there and be smarter than everybody else. Well, it doesn't work like that anymore when you don't have Tom Brady. This is the Bills division.
He's broken. He's broken. Okay, Bill Belichick is broken by the Bills.
Let me interrupt this Bills love-in for just a moment here. And we're joined by Sal Capaccio, who probably will not be booked on our show by our producer, Arad, who's a huge Patriots fan. So our producer, Sal, is not a big fan of what you just said about Bill Belichick. But I think there is a distinction.
Admit it, Arad. He's right.
Yeah,
he's
I think right. There is a distinction. Between Belichick, the GM, and the talent evaluator, and Belichick, the coach. So I think that would be maybe a part of the argument I would disagree with you on that. So, Sal, just quickly, because I know we're a little bit up against the clock, I want to get your take, because I know you're traveling to KC this week, and an amazing game on Sunday night between the Bills and the Chiefs. How are you feeling about Buffalo's chances to stage what would be a small upset, at least according to Vegas, in KC?
Yeah, I don't know what to think about this game and how each team's going to attack, guys, because I think you have two tremendous coaching staffs who are going to try to figure out a different game plan than the one that was used either A, in Kansas City in last year's championship game when the Chiefs won, or B, Sunday night when the Bills won there back in October, because, you know, both teams have these elite quarterbacks. You don't want to take the ball out of their hands. At the same time, the Chiefs have been vulnerable against the run, and the Bills are running the ball well. I'd like to see the Bills be able to do that. You know, I think this is a real good test for this secondary now, and they have not – since Tre'Davious White got hurt, they haven't faced this type of unit, right? But now they're going to face all these receivers and cover them, and that's going to be a challenge for the Bills. The way the Bills are playing offense, I think they can score. Maybe we're looking at a shootout, but then what does it say about the Bills' defense, which is number one in the league? This is going to be super interesting. I can't wait to dive more into it as the week goes on, but it's a great opportunity. And look, I tell you, real quick, before the game ended on Saturday, we were told to be prepared for a Sunday 3 o'clock game. Actually, I think the league was thinking about that. And then once everything started to unwind on Saturday night and seeing what the Bills did, and then Sunday last night, I think the league said we got to have these two guys, Mahomes and Allen, in our prime window time on Sunday, and that's why the game was put there.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer. This is going to be the game of the weekend. And I think San Fran and Green Bay will be a really good game. I think if it's the Rams or the Cards against Tampa, I think it'll be a good game. I think Bengals and Titans will be a good game. But you're talking about an over-under of almost 55 points between KC and Buffalo, and they played some great games in the past, and I think Sunday will be an absolutely outstanding game as well. Safe travels to KC. I imagine it's a snowy day in Buffalo as well. There's a ton of snow here in Toronto, Sal.
A lot of snow today. I have tickets to the Sabres game. We don't even know if we'll be, and I only live 3 miles from the arena, and I don't know if we'll be able to make it out. I'm doing the Shamai show coming up here in about 10 minutes from Studio Capaccio here in downtown Buffalo.
Ooh,
so.
Studio Capaccio. Nice. I love it. I
love it.
That's a little nickname I have come up with it for it. It's a lot easier in this remote world, but I mean, really, it's tough driving out there. But yeah, we're going to try and maybe get to the Sabres game and see how it goes. But, you know, just not do anything stupid. If we can't drive out there, a lot of people can't. There's some driving bans. So everybody needs to stay safe. The good news is, looks like good weather in Kansas City for the game. Probably around 25, 30 degrees, no precipitation or wind.
Love it. It's a lot of snow here. And again, if everyone out there, whoever out there is listening right now, we encourage you to drive slow, drive safe, and keep your eyes on the road because it's dangerous conditions there. Sal, thank you so much for doing this. Hopefully we can catch up maybe next week. And again, we can debate Belichick's greatness as an NFL head coach.
Please.
Anytime, guys. Don't be a stranger. Always good to talk to you. Thank you very much.
You got it, Sal. Thanks, man. Buddy. That's Sal Capaccio. Covers the Bills for WGR 550 in Buffalo. And man, that radio station, can you imagine like the excitement, just the unbridled enthusiasm and passion that the city of Buffalo has for the Bills and coming off that win? Oh, man, they must be pumped. And my Bills plus 850 to win the Super Bowl, now down to plus 500. So I like that. Also, one bet I haven't even talked about today was I might have discussed it last week, how I had the Bills and the Patriots to be the highest scoring game of Wild Card Weekend.
No, you didn't discuss it because I just found out about it last night when you were tweeting about it.
So they put up 64 points. It was 47-17 for the Bills. And I thought, okay, no one's coming close to 64. Last night, the Steelers and the Chiefs. And if you saw the end of the game, and I was probably one of the only people on the planet who was watching that game, not in Pittsburgh or KC, because that game was over. They were driving Pittsburgh, and all they needed was one more point to match the Bills and Patriots. But unfortunately, or fortunately for me, unfortunately for anyone who was maybe had that game as the highest scoring game, Pittsburgh unable to punch it in. The clock runs out at the goal line.
In Big Ben, you trust.
They put up a lot of points in the second half, did Big Ben and the Steelers.
Well, sure. Nobody's playing defense anymore. They're just trying to run the game out.
That's exactly it. So let's hope the Rams and the Cards stay below 64, which is a pretty safe assumption. And I will be a lot richer tomorrow morning. And I'll be in a good mood for once. we'll be back on the other side to wrap things up. We'll tee up the Raps and the Heat, a game you could hear on TSN 1050 as First Up rolls on.